this morning, the title of my sermon is Thorns and Thistles. Everyone say thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles. And we're going to start in Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. So why don't we turn there together? If you've got your Bibles or your phone with the Bible on it, let's turn there together. And it will be on the screen for you if you don't have your holy Bible with you. Awesome. Okay, so it says this: when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Why don't we pray this morning? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your presence is already here, that we've tasted and seen that you are good. We've encountered your heart already. And Lord, we want more of your presence in this place. May we walk away with a deeper revelation of your word, who you are. May we walk away changed, transformed by you and your word, God. Speak to us this morning. We are listening. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I feel that there's an invitation for us to be believers that bear good fruit, to be believers that would have be a field and a ground that produces good fruit and good crops, not a field that would produce thorns and thistles. And so that's our central verse for this morning, and we're going to continue to unpack that. And this scripture is a holy conviction for us in saying, you know, there's a field that bears a good crop, there's a field that bears thorns and thistles. It's a holy conviction for us to know that God's blessing is upon the field that produces good crops and is fruitful. Yet, it's also a holy conviction for us to show us that, you know, a field that produces good crops and fruit feeds others. So it's a holy conviction for ourselves, but also for others. And that's what we're gonna look at this morning. And in Matthew 7:16, it says, "You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" There's the thorns and the thistles again. Can you pick fruit from thorn bushes or thistles? And the answer is no, you can't. And this scripture in Matthew says we're identified as fruitful by the way we act. And so it's telling us that we will know people by their fruit, the evidence of how they act, what they say, how they carry themselves. That's what we can understand in this. And so this indicates that our actions will either build others up or tear them down. Our actions will either contribute to their salvation or not. Our actions will either obey God or disobey him. Our actions will either please his father heart or the opposite. Our actions will either bless, release, love people, or they will hold on to offense, hurt, bitterness. We're going straight in this morning. Are you doing okay already? Doing okay? And so in this central scripture in Hebrews, the rain represents God, his presence, his word. And the field, the ground, represents us. This is a way that we can look at. And I just love that Jesus spoke in stories, in parables, in things that we can go away and say, what does this mean? Analogies. So if he is the rain, we are the field. And we have two fields. We have one field and another one. Both fields have the same amount of rain. Both fields have the same amount of care and tending from the farmer. Yet one field produces good crops and fruit, and another produces thorns and thistles. So it shows us that we can have two believers having the same access to God, his love, his word, yet one will be fruitful and one will not. So interesting. We all have the exact same access to his word and his presence, yet some will produce fruit and good crops, others will produce thorns and thistles. And this morning I felt an invitation from the Lord to be aware of the thorns and the thistles. Thistles is a really hard word to say. Can I just, I feel like I've said it so much in the last few days. Plus I've got the brain fog of a cold, so thank you, Lord. Thistles. Thistles. Thorns and thistles. Probably should have introduced it that way, then it would set the tone for the sermon. And I want to park here for a moment with talking about the two different fields, the two different believers, where we have good crops, fruit, thorns and thistles. And I'm a little bit nervous at the moment about the way the world is progressing. I get nervous for the next generation being raised up when social media and when society tells us, you know, do what pleases you, do what feels good, you know, what is your truth? Or, you know, we know that the word tells us the other thing, but I get nervous about the way the world is progressing. The way the world is progressing is it's more about entitlement and right, and it's more about navel gazing, looking at ourselves. It's less of an encouragement to look at others. And I think as that progresses, so does the progression of our right to feel offended, because it's about how I feel and about what I want and what I'm entitled to. And I think I just love Danny Silk's book, Keep Your Love On. I love it. He talks about we are powerful people who can powerfully communicate. It's great. I'd highly recommend you reading that book. I haven't even finished it yet, and it's already a recommendation. And I think there's such a place for conversation. Conversation is healthy. Conversation is good. We can communicate. We can have restoration. However, the danger is that we can fall into the trap of having conversations about literally every small offense. And I think that's a dangerous part of being offended, is we can have a small minor offense about what someone said or what we've taken, and we can think, okay, I need to work this out. I need to talk about this. And I'm not diminishing or saying don't have conversations, but I think, hear my heart, we have to be careful that we're not easily offended. I think offense can be a huge thorn or a thistle for us. And I feel this morning there's an invitation for us to be aware of the potentials so that we can be a field that would produce good crops and good fruit. And I think especially in the days that we're in, God is moving mightily in our nation, globally. I saw something about almost 3,000 people being baptized on a beach in California recently. God is moving mightily. So will the enemy, like Pastor Rob said. And little offenses can be the little foxes that the enemy tries to stir up. And I think, I feel at times, if we buy into it and we're always having conversations about our minor offenses, it can be a distraction away from what the Lord wants to do. I'm not saying that we can't have conversations, but what I am saying is we have to be careful that we're not easily offended. We have to protect our unity as a church. We have to protect our body. I really feel that invitation this morning to protect each other as brothers and sisters. How pleasing it is to the Lord when we live in unity, in harmoniously, in love with each other. And I've had many rights to be offended over the years. Many, as would have you. Many, many times where I've felt hurt or offended. If you want to build resilience in that area, work in child protection for a decade. It's like the streets out there. It's rough. Or work in leadership. All the leaders are like, yep, that can be challenging. Child protection, rough. The injustice, the challenges that you experience, the exposure to what's happening in the community, it's rough. You know, got 30 people in an office running on coffee and sugar and bad emotions from crisis mode. And at one point I was managing them. I'm like, oh gosh, managing these people. They're running on coffee and sugar and bad emotions. And there was one situation where a person was doing some not great stuff towards our team, towards myself. And I thought, okay, some people have come to me. I need to have a conversation with this person. And I took it to the Lord, because that was something I learned in leadership. Take it to the Lord first. Don't react and respond. Take it to the Lord first. And I went to God, and I was expecting him to say, yeah, have a conversation. And he said, no, don't. I'm like, oh, what? As a leader, sometimes you have to have conversations. But God saw, and he said no. And so I waited and I sat on it. And not long after, that person ended up coming to me and initiating a conversation, a very colourful conversation, a not so nice conversation. And I felt not to say much, and then they ended up resigning. And so I was driving home and I thought, okay, I think this is a good thing. I think this is going to be good for the office. And then I felt God say to me, buy them flowers. What? I'm driving home. I felt like I almost swerved the car. Buy them flowers. Did you not just... They said what they've been doing. The injustice, Lord. Buy them flowers. Again, buy them flowers. It's like, oh. Buy them flowers. I'm like, you saw the conversation. You saw what they did. You saw that. He said, buy them flowers and give them a card. A card? I have to write something nice? A card? I'll tell you where I want to put those flowers. Lord, I'm sorry. Write a nice card. Heard it so clearly. Buy them flowers and a card. So I did. I was like, okay, I'm going to obey you, God. I'm going to do this. Gave them flowers and a card the next day. Bless. And I felt God say, bless and release. So I did that. And I'd love to say that it went really well and they left well and there wasn't this big mess. I can't say that. But I felt God say to me after, and what did you do? How did you respond? What did you write in that card? What did you show them? So I was like, I'm going to write God bless you in this card, because it was not off my own. I'm not doing this off my own. I'm writing God bless you in this card. It was him. He told me to do it. But he, you know, he gets the glory for that when we write God bless you. And so when there was a mess, upon reflection, he was pointing me at my own heart. How did you respond? How did you treat them? And it was an opportunity for him to say, are you going to take this seriously, Claire? Are you going to walk it out when it says, bless those who curse you? Are you going to take this seriously? Are you going to pick and choose what you want to follow? That was what he said to me. And so let's go there this morning, Matthew 5, 44 to 45. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He makes the sun rise on both. He sends rain on both. Both fields gets his rain. We all get his rain. What do they produce is the question. It's so important that we're aware of potential thorns and thistles in our heart, in our life. Excuse me as I drink that. In the many times that we're tempted to get offended, we can look to the Word. And Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So interesting. To overlook an offense. It's saying don't receive it. Overlook it. It is to your glory. It is to his glory that we would overlook offense. And that's also what God was saying to me in that moment. Don't be offended. Don't take offense. Don't be offended. Be like my son, Jesus, instead. You know, there were many times in the Bible where Jesus was asked to perform signs and miracles to prove that he was what he said he was. Many times he didn't do it. Many times. Even on the, right up until the cross, they were mocking and ridiculing him. He 100% could have come down from the cross. 100% could have shown them how powerful he is. He was fully God, fully man. Yet in Philippians 2, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on a cross. He could see the bigger picture of what God was leading him into. But he kept a pure and humble heart. He was without sin right up until the very end. He blessed those who persecuted him. He washed the feet of those that betrayed him. He didn't say, we need to have a conversation about what you said to me 7 weeks ago. I really didn't like how you wore that Kmart shirt on the same day that I did. What's with that? We all wear the same Kmart stuff. We need some more shops in this town, hey? But he lowered himself. Many times he overlooked offense. And we look to him in all things. We're called to be resilient, to overlook offense. That's what God's word says. And I know there's scripture that says, you know, if your brother sins against you, go and have a chat. But that's a bigger thing. That's sinning against someone. This is minor offense. This can be a thorn and a thistle. The hurt whisperer wants us to take offense to everything. He really does. He wants to whisper in our ear, they got promoted before you? Offense. They made that small joke against you that triggered something in you that they had no idea about. Be offended. Be offended. You know, they're out there doing that. You want to do that? Be offended. They didn't say hi to you at church. Be offended. Minor offenses, right? And some of the thorns and the thistles that we can experience will be on the screen shortly. Just some examples of what they can be that we need to be aware of is sin, unforgiveness, offense, disobedience, bitterness, pride, control. It's being aware of the thorns and thistles. So important. You know, God desires a unified, loving body. Do we get it right all the time? No, absolutely not. We are imperfect people. This church has imperfect people leading imperfect people. Right? We're not going to get it right all the time. But I really think that he's inviting us in this morning to work harder for unity, to work harder as brothers and sisters, to love, not to be ones that would take, be easily offended, have those minor offenses and hold on to them. Because it's about us. In the end, it's about us. Us as the field. What are we producing? You know, the central verse again, it says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. God's blessing is all over a field that produces good crops and good fruit. Life is better. The harvest is harvesting. When we're receiving and soaking up that rain from God, accessing him, soaking in his love, life is better when we're evidencing and walking out who he is, and we're not letting the root of offense be planted. We're pulling that up and we're saying, no, thank you. I'm not going to let that root go down. Offense, I'm going to pull that up and I'm going to say, no, thank you. Because my God says to overlook an offense for my glory, for his glory. It is to one's glory. God's favor and honor all over the field that's producing good crops and good fruit. And if it's the evidence of us being fruitful and how we're walking, then it poses the question of how am I different to the world? Because the word says, you know, being set apart from the world. So if I'm still getting drunk, if I'm still getting tipsy, if I'm still swearing, if I'm still walking out, acting out these things, how am I different from the world? How am I a field producing good crops? His words, not mine. It's true though. It's like he said, are you taking it seriously? These fields go through storms and droughts as well. And we think that the field that produces good crops and good fruit doesn't get pruned. It does get pruned. It does. And when we're a field that goes through these storms and these droughts and we're still producing good crops and fruit, wow, it's so pleasing to him. Our hearts are clean and pure. It's such a blessing, such a blessing. And so three thoughts I have to contribute to being a ground that produces good crops and fruitful, three that are all important, are these. And the first one is leaning into the pruning, tending from the gardener. Leaning into it. Like Pastor Ben spoke last week, don't run from trials and difficulties. Often God uses those to mold and shape us. John 15:2 says he prunes what is already fruitful to bear even more fruit. Just love that. We can be fruitful. He's still pruning us so that we'll bear even more fruit. And the most fruitful fields and the most fertile fields still need pruning. And pruning can look many different ways. Often it's God convicting us. It's conviction, holy conviction. It can be him pointing out our bad habits. Things that actually aren't sinful, yet might be a little thorn or a thistle that he's trying to get rid of. Bit too much time on Netflix this week. But I was sick. I felt sick, Lord. It's that pruning, it's that holy conviction. And can I just say, Holy Spirit is the best convictor. He doesn't need our help. Sometimes we can take that upon us. It's like Holy Spirit is the best convictor ever. He can also prune us through difficult or dry seasons, like Pastor Ben was saying. You know, David and Moses and Joseph and who was the fourth one? Abraham. It was a good sermon. I blame the cold brain fog. Ben's like, were you listening? I was. It was a great sermon. We build dependence on him through the pruning, through the difficult times, through the droughts and the storms. And sometimes we can be so quick to file away a bad experience or a difficulty as that was a rough period. I don't want to think about that again. And God's like, hey, I was actually trying to use that to mold you and shape you to become more like me. He can allow us to go through these things so that we become more like him. Allows us to go through difficult times, like my experience, to become more like him so that we would overlook minor offenses. The second thing is allowing the gardener to examine the soil. Psalm 139 says, search me. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is scary stuff, right? Search me and know my heart. Point out anything that offends you. If we want to know the condition of our soil, we pray this prayer. Because God will show us anything that offends him. I was like, oh. I was sitting there sweating before I prayed this prayer. Like, is there going to be a long list? I'm scared. But you know, it's such a beautiful process. Because God points this out so then he can refine and purify our heart. We become more like him. We have a clean heart, pure heart. And also we have that opportunity to repent, to be restored to him, to become more like him. The third thing is soaking up the rain and producing a blessing. Soaking up his word, his presence, his love, who he is. And we produce a blessing, like it says. And the word produce means to bring something into existence. And so we're bringing something into existence, and it's him. We've soaked in who he is. We're receiving the rain. Two fields, like we looked at earlier, both receiving the same amount of rain, both have access to who he is, his love. One's producing good crops and fruit. One's producing thorns and thistles. It can be a choice in what we produce, in how we act. And it's not to go down the striving, I need to produce results for the Lord. It's not going down that path. Like Pastor Ben said, we don't have to strive in God's presence. But it's about allowing the word to change us and transform us, to allow Holy Spirit to convict us in those moments. And some good crops fruit can be evidenced in our life through the following things. So we've got love, humility, obedience, generosity, growth, forgiveness, and surrender. Surrender is so important, right? When we're a field that is producing fruit and good crops, we're walking different. We're seeing his blessing. We're leaning into the pruning. We're leaning into the difficult times. We're allowing him to examine our heart. We're taking it to him first and saying, God, what would you have me do? Do I need to have a conversation? You know, truth and personally, I have this fiery thing inside me sometimes where I'm like, yeah, I'll have a conversation. You know, with this experience at work, I had to lock that down over the years and learn, where has that come from? Take it to the Lord. I'll search my heart. Where has that come from? That willingness to conflict and raise my fist. What is that? It's like, no, that's not the response. The response is to bless, release, love, buy them flowers, give them a card. That's evidencing Jesus through us. Why don't we stand this morning? It is such a blessing to see Ali, Phil, and Cameron serving together this morning on stage, the Beresford family. Such a blessing. Blessed my heart looking up and seeing them all together. Families serving the house, right? Such a delight. This morning, why don't we close our eyes together? I know sermons like this don't always tickle our ears. And sometimes we walk away with more questions than when we came in. That's a good thing. It's a great thing to take these things to the Lord and say, what are you saying in this? You know, does your word really say that? What should my posture be? And I sense this morning that the thorns and thistles theme and these points about allowing God to examine our heart and to the invitation to be a field that is fruitful and producing good crops is because of what God is doing at the moment. He is shaking the church. There is a mighty shaking happening at the moment. There is a mighty move of God coming. There is a new wave coming. I sense that. There's a new wave of his presence. He's doing a new thing in this place. And so he wants to protect his body. He wants to protect unity. He wants us to fight for unity. We think sometimes unity is so easy. It's actually something that we have to fight for. When the opportunity to be easily offended presents itself, to fight for that unity, to love each other, to overlook minor offenses. Yes, there's places for conversations to occur, but when it's minor, to overlook, to love each other, to bless each other, to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this moment? How can I serve my brothers and sisters well? And so with your eyes closed this morning, I sense there's an opportunity for us to allow God to search our heart, to take a moment for two things. The hurt whisperer may have been feeding us lies, feeding us doubt, feeding us things that have contributed to thorns and thistles. And the second thing is examining our heart and saying, Lord, would you point out anything that offends you? Would you search my heart, God? And so for a moment, maybe just while we've got the piano going, let's just take a moment to turn to him, posture our hearts, because I believe he wants to purify the body this morning.